Morning. I think we're going to go ahead and start. We're still waiting on one or two folks, but hopefully they'll pop in here. So we'll start with the introductions. Good morning. Welcome to the August 19th meeting of the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee. My name is Pamela Bernard. I'll be your chair for today. Just to go around the room, you guys want to speak or you want me to give your names? Okay, we got Mark Wilkes and Wycota Wang and Sally Helm and Julie. Okay, from MPC or MPO. So if we could go to the phones, please, and see who we've got there. If you could just go ahead and...
Anne Marie Day with Federal Highway.
Thank you. And from GDOT?
Tom Queen.
Morning.
Morning, Tyler Graham.
And from
Mark, Airport Commission.
Thank you.
Michelle Strickland with City of Savannah Traffic Engineering.
Anyone else?
Jesse Dillon, Zeta.
Thank you.
Pam, did you get me? I was talking over somebody. This is Lee.
Ah, good, great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. That gives us, does that give us our quorum then? I think we should be good.
I feel important if I just made a quorum.
Okay. Well, good morning. All right. Is there anyone else on the phone? Vote any other voting members anyway? Do we have anyone else joining in? Okay. All right. Sounds good. I think we'll move on then to approval of the agenda. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Does anyone have any comments or suggestions or anything else they want to add into the agenda this morning? Okay. If not, at this time, I will request a motion to approve the agenda as is.
So moved.
Thank you, Michelle. I will second that. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any no's? Okay. Motion passes. And we have moved on. We will move on to the action items for this morning. The first is approval of the previous meeting minutes from June 17th. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to review those and send in any comments that they might have had. Does anyone have any comments and concerns at this time? Any questions? All right, hearing none. I will request a motion to approve the June 17th meeting minutes for the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee.
So moved.
Thank you, Michelle. And a second?
Second.
And who was that, please?
Jesse Dillon.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any no's? Okay. The motion to approve the meeting minutes passes, and we move on to action item number two, which is to approve the PL discretionary funding application for the Core MPO Freight Transportation Plan update. Mark?
Thank you, Pam. And good morning, everyone. I'm going to give just a few introductory explanations about what the discretionary PL funding is that we're getting ready to apply for. The Georgia PL Funds Review Committee awards discretionary PL funds twice per year in late September and late March. Today and at this set of meetings, we're discussing proposed applications for the September round of funding. The funds come from MPOs around the state that don't spend necessarily all of their formula funds in a given year. At the end of a fiscal year, the funds are pooled at the state level and we can apply for them two times each year to do special studies and required planning documents. The funding is an 80-20 federal local split, so you must have a local match. Projects must support the core MPO Metropolitan Transportation Plan. The studies must be reflected in the core MPO UPWP. And the way we do that is that we show them as illustrative projects until they receive a funding award. Study proposals must be reviewed at least two rounds of the MPO meetings. The applications that we discuss this month were previously discussed in June. And the studies must undergo a competitive procurement process once the funding is awarded. And the studies must be administered by the MPO because they are MPO planning funds. At this meeting, we're going to discuss one of the proposed applications, which is the MPO Freight Transportation Study. This would be an update of the study, I believe, that we did around 2015. And Wicoda is going to be the project manager, or is the project manager, rather, for this effort. And I'm going to let her speak to you a little bit about the scope, because that's what we're discussing today.
Okay. I need to go back to the... where's my file? What is going on? This is so hard. Okay. I just want to let you know that we started the talking about the freight plan update process back in April. So at that time, we did a presentation on what the previous freight transportation plan includes. I'll share my screen. Okay. So we actually started from the previous transportation plan update back in April, talked about what the previous plan included and what other things that the staff wants the new study to achieve. For example, we want the tonnage to be converted into trucks. And we also want to have like truck parking inventory. So we started discussion in April. And then in June, I actually developed the very preliminary draft scope and then presented that at the ADFAC committee and then the TCC, the Technical Coordinating Committee, and then asked the ADFAC and the TCC to provide some comments and input. We actually didn't receive any comments from either ADFAC or TCC through email after the meeting, but we did receive some substantial comments from GDOT. So I revised that preliminary draft into this draft over here. But I just want to let you know, this is still under development. This is not final, but the good thing about this is because we know what we want to do, so that give us a better estimate about like how much that we will need for the study. So that will help help us to apply for the PL discretionary funds that Mark mentioned. So now I'm just going to tell you this is the revised scope. In the attachment, you actually see this whole thing. So it doesn't highlight the changes that I have made since GDOT gave me the comments. But just from the table of contents, you can see what we want to do. We have a background, we added background, and we have project management and coordination and the freight needs assessment. So we want to update the existing future freight and goods movement assessment and freight performance measures, forecasting, regional profiles, network bottlenecks, and safety and security issues, truck parking inventory, truck restrictions. And then I used to have like emergency, but GDOT advised that I use a freight resiliency
And so in the wrap up from task two, you will have a summary, which is the freight needs assessment. And then the land use assessment is a separate task. And then task four is a separate task, is economic development and market assessment. Task five, environmental community impact scan and analysis. So all task two, three, four, and five will lead to the recommendations in task six and the task seven. Task six would be the recommendations for the future land use, especially the warehouses, distribution centers. And then the final recommendations will be for the infrastructure improvements. And the final report is a summary of all this. So it will be, identify the freight goods and service plans, summarize that. But I would just go back to my Word file so that you can see what GDOT comments are and then how I incorporate them. First of all, we added in an introduction, the background. So I highlight this, the background. So why we are making this freight plan update, because our plan, the previous plan was completed in 2016. So it's like 5 years old. And then we want this new plan to contribute to the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan development. And also since the last plan update, there are a lot of projects already under construction. For example, the Savannah Harbor expansion project is about 90% complete now. And then the Mega Mason rail yard is under construction, completely under construction. And then I-16, you know, is under construction. I-16, I-95, both corridor, freight corridors. And then I-16, I-95 interchanges like going under construction. Brampton Road going to be let pretty soon. So you just have a lot of improvements that have been already been made. And then at the same time, if you just travel on I-16, you can see a lot of warehouses being built before you reach 307, says to the north side. You can see all that. And then there are also on Stereo 7, you can see the new warehouses being built. So we already know what is going on. We need to document all of this warehouses, distribution centers. So that's why we added this background over here. So why we want to update this. And then plus the census data is coming out as well. So we just need to document all of that. Under project management and coordination, GDOT was saying, okay, your outreach efforts seems to be just focused on the ADFAC. So ADFAC was a leading effort. Yes, that is true. ADFAC's leading effort, but our outreach efforts will probably be more extensive. So we might have like an industry survey or something. So I highlighted over here, we already include some language. It's just spelled out. So we will have like formal public outreach plans on how to conduct the public outreach. And the project coordination, we talked about the GDOT statewide freight plan, which is probably we'll ask Tom about the status on that. And then other GDOT studies. And then we also have.
Stop sharing.
What?
Stop sharing. Share that when you change screens.
This is crazy.
Share.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I'm in. Because yeah, when I'm at my computer, it would be easier for me. But now I'm in the conference room, so it's not familiar with this. And also project coordination, we know that we are going to coordinate with the STIR 21 car access management study, STIR 7 corridor study, and GDOT freight state plan. But we also added in something because at last meeting, I think FHWA and Marie was talking about Hinesville. They have a freight plan. So we want to, there are a lot of like movement and military movement between the Savannah area and Hinesville. So we probably want to coordinate planning efforts with Hinesville MPO as well. MPC is developing the comprehensive plan right now, the 2040 plan. So that includes some of the freight components. And then I have attended several Effingham Transportation Master Plan stakeholder meetings, and they do have a freight component in it. So I actually recommend the freight corridors. So we want to include, I think the study is wrapping up probably in September. So we actually want to coordinate with those plans as well. So that's the added portion for the plan coordination. How do I move this? Okay. Now freight needs assessment and analysis. We already included some information, but GDOT wants us to like more spelled out. So we will analyze the OD origin destination within the freight needs assessment. So it will be pay special attention to the trucks going in and out of the port. So we need to know like how many trips, where they go, and where which roads they are taking. So those are the specific questions that we want answered. And also we will have a major warehouse and distribution center inventory, like how many trucks, trips, and they generate, et cetera. And as well as the trains. So these are the things that we actually added in or incorporated or more spelled out over here. I think FHW and GDOT wants us to probably use the free data, the frame FF5 frame freight analysis framework 5. But if we have any other data, we need to have like a price tag attached. So these would be the things that we incorporate the GDOT comments in. So you can they see this, I highlight this. And under the performance measure, so we want to know how we get the performance measures, how we're going to use the performance measures to evaluate the short-term, mid-term, and long-term strategies.
Wicota, if I could just offer a suggestion. Before we get too far from the freight movements, I'd like to suggest that we take an opportunity with the development of the congestion management process, which will be ongoing, that we take a look at freight bottlenecks and freight congestion. And the processing of that data would be very similar to the processing of the data that we do for the congestion management process. We may have some efficiencies if we coordinate between the two studies on there. Yeah. I just wanted to get that out there since we hadn't talked about it specifically, but there's a lot of free data out there that we can use for that.
Okay, I think we'll probably just under project coordination, we'll add the congestion management process.
Right. I just wanted to get that into the
minutes. Yeah. And then updating of the forecasting of future freight growth. So we will identify emerging freight goods service movement and activity centers in the region. Regional profiles and assessment. So some of those tasks are already included in task 2.2 or 2.1, but some of that might be related to the regional profiles and assessment. So we will just include that information over here. And freight network bottlenecks and safety and security issues. And Mark just mentioned the CMP. So this task will be coordinated with the CMP update. So GDOT wants us to spell out like a more truck involved crash analysis. Also investigate address safety topics for local or non-state roads, serving trucks, cars, pads, and bikes, and also other hotspots. And the reasons behind it, for example, is like too much traffic volume or just the turning red light, because you know, if you have the red light too tight, the trucks will move very slowly and also are prone to traffic accidents and the signal coordination, et cetera. So these are just spelled out what we want to do. And also at grade crossing is a major safety issue. So we want to like pay attention to that at grade crossing. The truck parking inventory and truck restrictions, staff has been directed by ADFAC to develop a truck restriction mapping, particularly on the truck percentages, where you have truck restrictions on the roadways though, where there's high truck percentages. So Aisha is going to present that information today after I do this presentation. So she has developed a map and also a table showing you where those are. And truck parking inventory, most of the truck parking probably will be private in Georgia, but we still need to know where the parks need to park and where the needs are and what the future improvements are, or from the public agencies, what we can do to facilitate the private development of the truck parking. And the freight resiliency, because when I started the preliminary plan update scope, I actually thought about the COVID-19 because COVID-19 actually one side effect is it actually increased the e-commerce. So a lot of customer wants that goods delivered to their home. So that's what I thought when I thought about having emergency evaluation. But GDOT's comment is actually more comprehensive. So they're not only about the COVID-19, but also the hurricanes, sea level rise, and then higher than an expected growth rates at the port and the other unexpected situations they actually think about if Charleston port has to shut down. So all of the traffic will come into Savannah. Actually, I also watched a video yesterday that we're talking about the West Seaport. They have the congestion, they have the TEU, so they have the container shortage. So all of those need to be evaluated. And then also, since we are looking at the fiscal year, 2050, so we also have to have some kind of analysis on the truck fuels, electric height, and truck electrification, and the fueling stations, and et cetera. And probably like a trucker on the driver shortage or something. So that should be included in freight resiliency. So those are the new comments and the freight needs assessment. So we want to know where the distribution centers and warehouses and the shipping, receiving, so et cetera. So these are the highlighted portion that we more spelled out. So the GDOT provided comments, we incorporate the comments. The land use assessment, we already talked about the warehouses, distribution centers. There's a lot of under development and probably will be developed. Some others will be developed. So we really need to have a closer look at that. So there are a lot of developments happening after 2016. So the previously for the environmental and community impact scan for the previous study, actually the staff did the analysis. Actually, I did the analysis, but if we want the consultant this time to do the analysis, we need to add the cost of this study. So that's why the cost has been revised. So, and then the task 6 recommendations for future land use, and then task 7, infrastructure improvements recommendations, and the task 8 was the summary report. So these three tasks will all be built upon the previous tasks that have been completed. Based on this, the previous plan, it cost us about $180,000, and the land use component was about $30,000. So the total is about $210,000. So when I did the previous preliminary scope, I actually estimated about 250 because we want the consultant to do we added the truck parking inventory. We also added in like COVID-19 evaluation. But based on what the GDOT input, we want the more spelled out resiliency plan. And a more detailed analysis on the land use side, and then also converting the traffic into modes. So like how many trucks and which roads. So I just don't feel 250 is enough. So I thought, okay, even if I don't know how much will be, but based on this input, I think about $300,000 would be more appropriate. So when we do the PL funding, PL discretionary funding application, we would ask for $300,000. So that the federal portion would be $240,000. And since the freight plan, it impacts all of us. And we are going to include Bryan County, Effingham County, and Savannah, and the Chatham County. So the Savannah MSA area, 3 county. And we're also coordinating with the Hinesville MPO. So we decided that the MPC will come up with the dues with the $60,000 that will come from all the memberships. So that's why I feel more comfortable with $300,000 than $250,000. As I have indicated, this scope is still under development until we have a final RFP out and until we have the final consultant selected. We really cannot finalize the scope yet. but at least we have this scope and we have the application based on this scope. So we feel pretty good about like $300,000 and then the application that we are going to do. For the...
Marcota, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
I noticed in the application, and you mentioned it also, that we include in the study both Effingham and Bryan County.
Yes.
Is the studies are different from projects in that you can include areas outside the MPO boundary. Is that correct?
The study recommendations will include projects outside of the MPO boundary. That is correct. But with the 2020 census, we don't know yet, but I feel probably southern half of Effingham County will be a part of the MPO.
Oh, okay.
So, the Effingham County Transportation Master Plan, they actually have a lot of freight recommendations. Most of those are concentrated on the southern half of Effingham County because the northern part is still so rural.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just trying to understand because I know most of the time we can't spend any money outside our MPO boundary. So I'm trying to understand.
That's right. So when it comes to transportation dollars programming, we really cannot spend our money outside the MPO boundary. But that doesn't mean that other jurisdictions outside our boundary cannot implement some of the improvements, especially if like the smaller ones.
Just trying to understand, but we're spending money on the study outside.
Yes.
We could study areas outside.
The study
can include areas.
Yes, it's actually wider, it's bigger than the MPO boundary.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Wakota, it's Anne Marie. To add to Pamela's question, something that I want you all to take credit for as well, instead of have it titled core MPO, if you want to attach the word regional, because this is kind of, you know, where you're coordinated with these other counties and the Innesville MPO. So you guys are doing like a regional freight update, and you want to take credit for that. So if you could include it in that title, add regional to it. And the second comment I wanted to make under the land use portion, if you could make sure that there's language regarding equity under as you're developing the land use task portion, if you want to make sure that we're addressing equity at that time. Thank you.
Sorry, because I was working with Julie on something over here. I didn't hear the first part. I heard the equity part. What was the first part?
The first part is to build on what Pamela was asking, where one of the things that's jumping out at me is regional, and I want to make sure that you all are taking credit for the work, for the effort you guys are doing as it relates to freight. And if you want to change the title, right now the title says the core MPO freight transportation plan. If you want to add the word regional,
regional,
because it's not just concentrated. So, a lot of other MPOs that I've looked across the nation that are doing a lot of them regional freight plan. And sometimes those freight plan make it into our database as good example for freight plan. I did a scan a few weeks ago, and we're looking at freight planner across the country at the MPO level. And most of those, there's a regional component. So you guys are doing some activities, there's some mention within the scope, regional, so if you want to change that title as well to demonstrate that you all are doing a regional freight plan update.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. So we'll
continue to
add, core MPO's regional freight transportation plan update.
And then to build on that, Anne-Marie, probably, I totally agree with that, because Makoti did a good job reminding us that right now, you're actually a multi-county MPO anyway. Again, a little bit in Effingham, a little bit more in Bryan, but that'll grow. So if somebody says, wait a minute, why are you going outside of Chatham County? At the PL Funds Committee, you'd remind them that you're already a little bit into those counties, and you probably will be a little bit more. And then just don't spend a lot of time defining until you actually get, somebody selected and start defining a study area. So I'm agreeing with everybody. And I'm actually saying it to my folks too, to say, you know, they're already theoretically a three county MPO, right? So thanks.
And just to tag on to what Tom said, I believe by next summer, we will see the census urban area delineation. So as the study is and still in its early stages, we will, you know a lot more about what the future MPO boundary will be by the time the study is close to completion.
And then at that point too, build on, Mark, that's great. You know, my state freight plan, we can decide, you know, where that line is. And so if somebody says, well, what if this area, this warehouse is going to be built, you know, just outside of the new MPO boundary? Well, we'll continue to talk to make sure it gets covered, you know, so this, the MPO staff and the GDOT staff are totally on the same page. And so nothing gets dropped through any cracks. So I think this is good. Thank you. Also, I put some stuff in the chat box. You guys know I talk too much, but I put some stuff in the chat box to remind you of resources you have available and you guys can read them. Thanks.
Okay, now on my page, I hope that you can see this. I did share my screen. This is the application that we're going to submit to the PL Discretionary Funding Committee, PL Funds Review Committee. So we just have a description. And then the application is not as spelled out as the preliminary scope, as the draft scope. So you can see we have an introduction and then we have the, this is what we want to do. So just to list the tasks. So at this meeting, we are actually just to ask the ADFAC to endorse to the core MPO board that we're going to pursue this funding. And if we get the funding and we will start the RFP process.
Okay, thank you, Waikota. Does anyone else have any more questions or comments?
I actually do want the ADFAC, if you have additional comments, please send us to us because we will just keep on working on this scope.
Okay, sounds good. All right, at this time, I will request a motion to endorse the PL, this, no?
The quorum.
Are you sure we don't have a quorum? Okay, well, there's some doubt as to whether or not we have a quorum. So, but nonetheless, okay, we won't do a motion, but then we want to know that if everyone's in agreement that we should endorse this to the board. So I guess at this point, I'll just ask, is there anyone that does not endorse this or that has concerns at this time? Otherwise, we're gonna assume that everyone is in favor of endorsing this funding application for the freight transportation plan update. Okay, sounds like we're all in agreement. So I guess that will have to do for now until we get a quorum. Is there any other business?
I'm trying to.
All right. No other business that I know of. So we move on to the status reports. Is Asia still going to talk about the percentage of truck traffic?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Pull my screen up. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Can everyone see it?
Not yet. We're still looking at the agenda. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try. I can see it.
Yeah, they can. Are you looking at the truck volume table?
We can kind of see it. It's she's pulling it up now. Hang on just 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys see the table?
I can.
Yeah, it's just a little small. There we go.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to show the table first and then the map next. So I just want to show which streets are defined as truck restricted, but they still have some level of truck traffic on them. So if there's anything missing, it's either they were small streets that just don't have data, or they didn't have any truck traffic. So 13 out of the 127 truck restricted roads in Chatham County have some level of truck traffic. So that's about 10% of the roads. The highest being Oglethorpe with 13% of its traffic being truck traffic in 2020. But for the most part, it's usually between around 2 to 5 or 2 to 6%. And most are not getting a super high level of truck traffic, but there still are a few truck restricted roads that are getting some level of truck traffic. And so I'm just also going to share my screen to show updates to the map so you can see where these roads are, and then also updates for the Effingham County maps too. Can everyone see that map?
Yeah, we can see it.
Awesome. So what I have highlighted in blue, or the blue lines, are truck restricted roads that still have truck traffic. So here's one example here. So as you can see, data show that this portion of the road still has some truck traffic, whereas this one stayed fairly restricted. And then for Effingham County, the vast majority of the roads are restricted. There's only a handful of roads that allow truck traffic. And I think some people asked at the last meeting if some of the roads are restricted in Effingham, but not Chatham or Bryan County. And it does seem to be true according to this map. So on this side, this road is not truck restricted, but then as soon as you cross into Effingham County, there are truck restrictions. And then the same for in Bryan County as well. It seems really mostly major streets allow trucks, and they don't really want any type of truck travel on those smaller local streets.
That's US 80.
Yeah, is that Old River Road?
I'm not sure.
US 80. How do you restrict truck traffic on US 80?
That's interesting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is interesting from a state perspective, because you know, we, unless there's, you know, a weight restriction on a bridge or something, we generally cannot restrict trucks from using state and US routes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really insightful you guys can look at.
I think we would just need some clarification afterwards, so we will see exactly what happened. So might not be restricted. So because I know Effingham County, their major truck routes are state routes and US routes. So if it's US 80, cannot be restrictive to trucks. So we would just get some clarification, do some more research on that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I think a lot of the local streets that have truck restrictions might be probably for the truck delivery, that the final last mile delivery or something, not really related to like port traffic or something. It's just like if you go to like Kroger or Food Lion or something. So those are probably like truck deliveries. But I think we just need more data to find that out.
All right, thank you. Is there any other questions or comments for Asia? All right, thank you. Mark, I guess we'll move on to the status reports from the studies, both on State Route 21 access management and then also the State Route 307 corridor study as well. Thank you.
There we go. I'll just take us back to the agenda because I don't really have a graphic that I need to show for this particular item. Well, let's see. Start with the State Route 21 Access Management Study.
Wait, Mark, do you want to click on the summary? Oh,
sure, we can do that. Okay, this is the summary status report that was attached to the agenda. We issued notice to proceed on March 5th, of course. This was a study that was approved for funding by the PL Funds Review Committee last September. We started work with the consultant in March following the procurement process. So that gives you an idea of how long the procurement process can take, anywhere from 4 to 6 months. The first project advisory group meeting was held May 13th. The project webpage has been developed. We've had our first online survey for a phase one public involvement. That survey is now closed. We published a wiki map to encourage direct input on issues in the corridor. We had our first public meeting May 25th, conducted a day-long road safety audit on June 9th. The draft existing conditions and needs assessment has been reviewed and comments have been sent back to the consultant. They have begun work on the needs assessment matrix. And we're planning for the phase two public involvement currently. The next public meeting we expect will be in late September. We're looking at possible dates on the 14th, 16th, 22nd, or 23rd. We're not sure yet. The next project advisory group meeting will be held on August 26th at 2 p.m. And the Garden City City Council members are being interviewed next week and the week after. They've developed a questionnaire to get the perspective of the local officials. We were about 46% complete on the study at their last invoice, which was the end of July. So probably a little over 50% at this point. And that's all I have. They'll be happy to take any questions if anybody has questions about the study.
I just have a compliment. Thanks for you guys for staff for making sure this is coordinated well with the next thing on the agenda and with the 307 study, because you all know 21 and 307 intersect. So you guys are doing great. Thank you.
Yes, they have the consultants for the two studies have had a coordination meeting. So that's probably what Tom's referring to. If there are no questions, I'll go on to the 307 corridor study. Let's see, we issued, this was also approved at the September PL Funds Review Committee meeting last fall. So we did the procurement in tandem with the 21 study, gave notice to proceed March 23rd. We had a kickoff with the project management team on April 15th. Received a draft project management work plan submitted to us July 23rd. We're currently holding biweekly project management meetings. Traffic count map is complete. And thank you very much to GDOT. They have provided extensive traffic counts for this study. The existing conditions model has been updated recently based on the COVID adjustment factors. They were good enough to provide us with that as well. The existing conditions report is currently under development.
Mark, public. Can you switch the screen to the other?
Oh, sorry. Okay. I think I just have to go back here. Share. We get into a little bit of a traffic jam because when we are in the hearing room, everybody's trying to work off the same laptop. So it gets just a little crowded, a little confusing sometimes. I think if you arrow back, you'll get to the agenda because I clicked in the agenda. Yeah, okay. It's Julie. Julie keeps us moving along. Okay, so where was I? Okay, the public participation plan is in draft form. We have also launched the project website in the last week. There's a feedback link, so people can give us their comments. Those comments go to a sub-consultant, Denise Grabowski with Symbiosity. She's handling the outreach component of the study. The study was 12% complete. As of their July 31st invoice. So this one is not as far along as the 21 study, but they also have a little bit more time. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I saw the website has a sign up link, so you can go ahead and get updates sent to you. That's pretty cool.
It sure does. If you navigate on the MPC website, the mpc.org, if you navigate to plant to studies, it has a tab and there's a link and a map. I don't know if I want to unshare my screen again to try to navigate to it.
Sorry. All right. Thank you, Mark.
But it's pretty easy to find. If you can't find it, let me know. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Does anybody else have any questions about those studies? Any comments? Okay.
And incidentally, as we are proposing, I just wanted to also mention, in case the question does come up, as we are potentially applying for up to 4 special studies in September, I wanted to point out that the 2 studies that we just discussed should be complete by the time those studies would start. Because you get the funding not in September, it takes you anywhere from 4 to 6 months to select the consultant. So this study is wrapping around April. So they shouldn't overlap.
Great, that's good to know. Okay, information reports. Let's move on to notable presentations from webinars and workshops.
This is something new that we're doing in response to a comment that we received on our certification review. Just to sort of paraphrase the comment, we were encouraged, I guess, to report back to the committees on different trainings that the staff has received. Presentations that were attached were from the TRB APCON conference in June. One of the nice things about the COVID lockdowns that we've had is that there are so many more virtual opportunities now. Instead of sending one person, we can send, you know, possibly the whole staff. So I just asked them to include those. We may get a little more advanced with it as things progress and we find things that are more directly related to the studies we have going on here.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Public comments. I don't think we have anyone from the public, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pam, I do want to ask Gina about their like state freight plan development status.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, we've got a consultant selected, but I mean, now we're starting that scoping, that, you know, getting a scope written, which, you know, is that's its own cottage industry, right? To get it from congratulations, you've been picked to getting it into a contract. So
which consultant from, Tom?
I'm sorry?
Which consultant from?
WSP and Cambridge Systematics is a sub consultant within there. So one of the things we'll do with them, for example, is saying, you know, make sure you're aware that, you know, ARC is going to update their freight plan. Savannah is going to update their freight plan, you know, that what's going on so they can make sure they don't overlap or that everything is coordinated. So that's one of the things we're going to do right in the next week or two, is start telling them. And they should, a lot of them should know. They should know what's kind of happening in Georgia. The legislature has that study committee, right? The freight study committee. That's another thing they need to know about and to make sure they access those reports of what's been said by the legislature that's important. So.
And also, Tom, are you going to purchase any free data? If so, can you like share some of the data with us?
We're looking at, that's one thing we'll be looking at, and mm-hmm. to see what we basically, what, again, figure out what we're going to do. Then you decide, okay, what data do I need to be able to do that kind of whatever we decide to do. So yeah, we'll definitely have that on radar.
Okay, great.
I put in the chat box the FAF 5. That'll be a really good start for you guys. But yeah, this is definitely going to be, because you know, compared to last time we had a freight plan, it's super exciting that, you know, MPOs, you guys are doing a great job. You know, there's even in like long range plan updates, the MTP updates, y'all and other smaller MPOs are doing freight. Hinesville did a freight plan. So there's a lot of coordination, but you know, that's what planners do well, I like to think. So thanks.
Okay.
All right. Are there any other public comments, or does anyone else have any questions or anything, comments that they want to bring up that isn't on the agenda? Okay. Going to the notices. Our next meeting for the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee is on Thursday, October 21st. Did I miss something, Mark?
No.
Okay.
No, you're
cool. All right. That's at that'll be at 10 o'clock. And I don't know at this point in time, is it just going to be virtual or is it going to be both again? Okay, so you have the choice. And let's see, the next item I have is the TIP administrative modifications with Alicia. Alicia, are you on?
Stop share.
We need to stop share over here. So, oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. If you want to pull up the attachment, you can do that, or I can pull it up here, whatever's easiest.
You go ahead and pull it up and share your screen.
Sure thing. It's telling me that I cannot start sharing my screen while the other participant is sharing. Oops. Okay, let me know when you can see my screen.
There it is.
All right. Okay, so there is a administrative modification. We received a request from GDOT for this, and modifications are minor changes as opposed to TIP amendments. So they don't require a public review or comment period. So it's pretty straightforward. And the request from GDOT was for the SR-25 at Savannah River in Port Wentworth for the bridge replacement projects. And it was the right-of-way phase was to receive a minor cost increase and then also move it from fiscal year 21 to 22. And that's all.
Okay, thank you, Alicia. Any questions about that?
I've got a question, not on this, but the TIP in general. And, you know, this is Tom. I used to go to TC meetings and policy. So maybe I'm asking Ned, that I-95, speaking of river crossing, that I-95 widening, that South Carolina, you know, has already mentioned that they were going to, remember we talked, like that's one of the last things I remember when I used to go to TC meetings, right? What's the status of that? Because remember, there's a Georgia at the river if I remember correctly, GDOT owns the bridge. So there's a coordination that's going to have to happen in terms of getting the project programmed and all that. What's going on with that?
We're still working on that, Tom.
Okay. Because that's like a big freight project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then related to that, and I'll just open it a thought too. I haven't had time to get on like the Low Country MPO to see if they've got any freight stuff in their long range plan or stuff. If you guys, I appreciate you guys looking at Hinesville. I'm just kind of curious if there's anything going on across the river on that MPO in terms of freight. Thanks.
Good question.
Well, of course, the Low Country MPO, which is LATS, their primary project is the US 17 widening, but we will coordinate with Stephanie. You may recall Stephanie Rossi, who was on our staff up until last year. She is now heading up the staff of that MPO. So a good person for us to coordinate with.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed, and I don't know exactly how this falls out, but there's only so many paths between Savannah and the Low Country area. That would be I-95, and then the Back River, the Houlihan Bridge, and the 17, right, Talmadge Bridge. So we've got the widening project on US 17. We've got the I-95, I-16 project, and then we're going to do the Houlihan Bridge project, and then there's going to be the I-95 widening in South Carolina. So I'm just kind of wondering about the timing of all these projects and if there's going to be some point in time I might be bringing, taking a boat to get to work, because that might be the only way I can get here.
Well, there were a couple earlier in the spring and early summer, I had to make a number of trips to North Carolina. And of my three trips, one of them, 95, was blocked at the state line. The bridge was closed, and I had to drive up through Springfield and take 119 across, which I've never done before, and up through Garnett and go up 321 just to escape Savannah. There is, as Pam mentioned, I mean, the South Carolina DOT, I believe, has officially opened a project to start widening I-95 starting in the southern part of the state, but we would need to ask for a status on that. I think it's pretty long range.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I would imagine that one's pretty far out.
Yeah, so. And it really was just starting down at this end. I mean, they're focused on the part between 26 and Georgia, but.
I guess this would be a question for GDOT as far as the Houlihan Bridge project. I know that one's a design build. So is there any kind of schedule for when construction might actually start on that? I mean, is the I-95, I-16 interchange going to be done by then?
Ned, you're in that space now. that's a Ned planner question.
I'll have to check and get back to you on that one, definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I guess the last thing on the agenda then is the fiscal year 2023. Wow. UPWP development schedule. Mark, you going to talk about that
one? I'll zip through that one quickly. We have had some early discussions with GDOT on a meeting, I think, last month. And they proposed a UPWP development schedule. This is the table that they provided us. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. What it calls for would be for the MPO to review a draft at the December meetings and then to adopt a final fiscal year 2023 UPWP in February. And we're in agreement with that. When I looked at our calendars and the upcoming meetings and things we've got going on, what that means for us, and I just did my own little simpler table here. We normally start with a call for plans and studies before we start writing the UPWP, just to sort of in an organized way, find out what studies our members are interested in, put those in an illustrative category. It does line them up for the funding discussions with the prior to the PL Funds Review Committee. So basically what that means is we'll be issuing our next call for plans and studies next month in September. Probably a little bit earlier than we were initially thinking. I think we've done it in October, November previously, but then again, we were adopting the UPWP in April. So just want to get that on everybody's radar screens. We'll send an email blast with a little flyer just with the basic information. And if you could just, get any information to us if there is something, a planning study that you're interested in pursuing.
That would be, so in September, you're asking for what planning studies we would want to pursue in what time frame?
Well, that can be somewhat flexible. You recall, Pam, you proposed a couple of them on behalf of the county. It's been over a year, I think. And then we talked about what the timing and priority was. So one of them is still sitting in there in illustrative and we haven't gone after it yet. So it doesn't, the earliest that we could go after funding ideally we're developing UPWP that won't be, adopted till after the first of the year. I'd like to think that means those would be the planning studies we'd be applying for a year from now. If somebody has something they feel like there's more urgent, we could line it up for a funding request in the spring. But we're trying to sort of channel these things in an orderly way so that, we start talking about them months before, just so they're in our program. We don't have to, do emergency amendments or anything like that to react. So it's pretty much wide open as far as the schedule. I mean, it could be something you want to do a year from now. It could be something you're not sure if it's a year from now. It might be 2 years from now. It's okay to go ahead and start talking to us about it. We can put it in as an illustrative task. And then when you tell us you're ready to push the button, you've got the local match, whatever, and now is the time, then we go after it.
Hey, Mark, it's Anne-Marie. So something that I think that your group should also make a point to discuss during these meetings. I know that you do a really good job in bringing up the certification review and some of the recommendations that came out of that certification review. One of the other things that I think is really important to this discussion, one of the things that came out of that certification review is that projection schedule. And y'all did an amazing job in incorporating that projection schedule in your 2022 UPWP. And that kind of tell, here are some of the activities that are coming up that the NPO staff is working on, because you don't want to overburden yourself and nothing get delivered. And I know the freight plan is on that schedule. Your CMP is on that schedule. Your MTP is on that schedule. So it's important when you're having these discussions to show that schedule, what is on the horizon for you all, to make sure that you're balancing your staff resource and not taking on more than you all can manage. So for future discussion, as you go into the 2022 UPWP, it's important that you talk about what you guys are currently working on and what that projection schedule look like. So if additional study is going to be coming in, what the resources that you guys have available in terms of staff time. So I would recommend you can send it out to this group, what that schedule looks like, what that projection schedule look like, and going forward with your TCC is make that be a part of that conversation as you go into 2023, because there are, from that projection, there are activities that going into 2023, 2024. So it's important that you're showing that and not starting off, we're developing a 2023 UPWP, but build on your 2022 UPWP, because y'all did an amazing job in coming up with that projection schedule. And we're not seeing that schedule right now. We're just kind of looking at it like, we have a 2023 UPWP coming up, but we're not looking at what are some of the activities that need to roll over into 2023 and subsequent fiscal year.
Right, I completely agree with you, Anne-Marie. And we'll have to see. The funding for all four studies is certainly not guaranteed. So, but as we get into December, we'll find out if anybody wants to apply for anything else. We'll find out how many of these studies will be doing, and that information will be rolled into the schedule and into the UPWP. And four studies is a lot. I mean, we may get to the point where we say, okay, you know, these are the studies that we're interested in, and have to sit down with the calendar and say, okay, what can we do? So yes, we haven't gotten there yet in terms of the number of special studies, but you know, if all four of these get funded and move forward, we might be getting close to that point.
Hey, Mark, do you have a copy of that projection schedule that I mentioned, to kind of just have this body see what that looks like?
It's in the UPWP.
Yes, it should be in your UPWP.
I should be able to navigate to it.
Because it's important. It's important that you're telling that story, and you're telling that story of continuity. And that was one of the reasons why that recommendation was made, because we don't want to look at the work program as just a year to year. We want to look at upcoming activities and activities that are rolling over. So, you know, it is a transparent process that each of your committee can be aware of what's going on. And again, to manage that time and manage that staff time and resources accordingly, because there are priorities. The priorities are your freight plan and your CMP and your upcoming MTP. Those are the priorities. And if we are not seeing those delivered, if you're going out for special studies, those are going to be put on the back burner, because here are your priorities. So it's important that you're telling that story and telling that story first. Here's where we are. Here's where we need to be.
I'm almost there. Bear with. Okay. Trying to remember.
I think that schedule. Yeah, this is right here.
Is this the one?
Yeah. Yeah, and if you could just make it bigger. And just go ahead and talk about that, because again, it's important that we're not just talking about some of the recommendations, but some of the high priority recommendations and why these recommendations were made and how the MPO is addressing those recommendations.
Okay. Well, this was actually Emory is right. This was a new table. This year's work program was completely reformatted, and this table was a new addition to the work program. You see at the top here, you know, the things that we do on an annual basis, including, you know, basically developing the UPWP. We try to address 2 years at least in the budget sense for transit purposes, but we are redeveloping that document every year. Our planning service contracts, our Title VI, calls for projects, and safety targets. Every other year we have, every other year we're gonna plan to do a congestion management process report card, update pavement bridge safety targets every 3 years. You can sort of see where things start to fall into place here. Every 3 years, the LEP plan, Title VI policy and procedures. So as we're talking, 2023 is the third column here. We're just now into 2022, which is the second column. So going into 2023, we certainly will be in process with our MTP update. We actually started that in June with the review of the socioeconomic data. In October, I believe we're going to be talking about what we're doing for goals and objectives and how we're going to be conducting a survey of our members. We have the update of the freight plan, obviously going on that year, both years rather. Non-motorized plan we adopted last year, so you'll see that's further out, probably about 5 years out in 2025. And by the way, 2024 will be the year of completing our Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. So that, if I'm reading that right. Yes, see the update of the MTP. It's begun. It finishes in 2024. the congestion management process, again, beginning this year, completing the following year, just in advance of the MTP update. So that shows you, you know, how the freight plan update and how the congestion management process get updated, how those inform and feed into the MTP update, pretty much on a five-year rolling basis. The urbanized boundary, that's more of a one every 10-year thing, and update the bylaws and membership. Fortunately, we will have a lot of planning studies going on, I think, next summer when we start to work on this boundary, but fortunately, we'll be pretty early on in the studies. So, and we have a pretty good idea of what's generally happening with our boundaries. And here, the ad hoc studies, these are the special studies we've been referring to. 21 and 307 be wrapping up next year. Actually, 21 study be wrapping up towards the end of this year, and 307 in the spring. This Old River Road and Islands Expressway, these were, these are kind of guesses because they're not, well, Islands Expressway is requested, but Old River Road, we don't have a schedule for yet. We've not applied for that one. Anyway, that sort of shows how everything fits together. And we do have a lot of green boxes in this year and next year. We'll be planning like there's no tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you going over all that. Okay. Does anyone have any questions or final comments before we go? Any questions for Mark about the schedule? Okay. So then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day.